Nostalgia. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the How We Interview podcast. In this episode, I had the pleasure of talking to my friend, Mossel Walker. Mossel Walker leads employer brand and experience at the IRC. This is actually the second time we've spoken. She's got amazing energy. She's probably tired of hearing me say that. And she's gone through a job change. And so we spent a lot of time talking about the intersection of employer brand, employee experience. I think it's something you'll enjoy. Super interesting. So continue listening and thank you for clicking in. Thank you for tuning into the How We Interview podcast. I have the pleasure of joining my friend Mossel Walker again. This will be our second discussion. So thank you for joining us again. Some may say you're a glutton for punishment. For those that either watched or listened to the first episode or maybe didn't, I'd love it if you can kind of introduce yourself again to our listeners.
Yes. Hello, everybody. I'm very, very excited to be back for part two of our conversation. Aaron and I chatted about 6 months ago, all things talent, brand, and recruiting. I'm really just excited to be back here because I have a lot of things to share. My name is Masa, and I am currently an associate director overseeing talent, brand, and experience at International Rescue Committee, which is a global humanitarian organization based out in New York. My background comes from a lot of recruiting, a lot of brand marketing, and just a mix of fun things. So I grew up in tech with Microsoft and Facebook, Meta. I did a lot of recruiting there, and I shifted into employer brand just out of the need to be a good recruiter. A good recruiter is a good marketer who knows our brand messaging and values and how to sell that to the right candidates. And I just wanted to do it really well and just kind of my career just kept evolving and, you know, ended up in employer brand and recruitment marketing. And recently I had an opportunity to, you know, do a lot of employer brand work, which led to, you know, addressing a gap between what we wanted to say, messaging and brand of what our organization stands for and the experience of those, you know, candidates, employees, staff that are here, and addressing that delta, I think, is really important. So I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, it's amazing to have you here. Hey, I say this all the time. Like I just love your energy. And I love talking with you. I think your background is so fascinating to me because you've worked for like tech giants and now you're working for humanitarian causes. And just how, I mean, do you sometimes feel like you get whiplash and the difference between the two and the problems and the budgets and the differences in staffing and all the things that come with those two different environments?
So much. And, you know, Aaron, my background, it just has been a squiggly line. Yeah. Right? Like I've been in staffing on the agency side. I've been in-house. I've been on the agency side, on the marketing and brand side. I've been on in-house side. I've been with global organizations that have money just coming out of every single hole. And then I have an organization that is still global and actually too global in that, you know, 90% of our workforce is non-US centric, but, you know, have incredibly limited resourcing. So I think just being in those very, you know, crazy, like expanded, differentiated businesses, I think have made me a better, more humble practitioner.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm a big fan of the squiggly line because I don't know anybody. I certainly haven't. That's like had this very straight, clear trajectory of what my career looks like. And I couldn't even tell you what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. But if you can create like a doctorate program for recruiting and talent brand, you've done it. Like it's almost been rotational because you've got a little bit of everything. And I think there's some comfort in, and maybe, I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there's some like been there, done that. Like, look, I've probably tried everything once, maybe failed, maybe not, but I've, you know, whether it's staffing, whether it's working in tech, whether it's working in humanitarian, whether it's being a recruiter, whether it's working in employer brand, that's an immense amount of background that you've been able to amass in a pretty short period of time.
It's a lot of trial and error. It's a lot of failures, right? And the most you're going to learn is through testing and trying and being like, oh, that didn't work. And I think having that appetite and curiosity to do something new, because I think if you're in one discipline, you kind of get stuck in your old ways. Like you're an old dog who can't learn new tricks. And there is a beauty in trying what has worked, what has been tested. But I think there's also, you know, innovation and just doing things that are not really traditional, that is maybe a little bit out of whack, that really does get results in a new, wonderful, unexpected ways. And I've been really fortunate enough to have managers and organizations that allowed me to be like, just do what you want to do and give me that space to learn and grow. So yeah, it's been a tremendous experience for me, at least. Thank you,
everybody. Those are the best environments for growth. They really are. So since last time we caught up, what have you been working on? What's new?
Exciting? Okay, so I'm so excited because this is a mostly a new recent development. But so I used to, and I still do, manage employer brand and recruitment marketing at the IRC. We're a 20,000 plus global organization, mission driven work. And although we've been around for 90 plus years, I think we've always struggled to articulate like what is our employer brand and specifically our employer value proposition. So of course, the first thing when I got to the organization was like, okay, what do we want to say? Because everything around how we go to market, how do we message, how do recruiters and candidates and hiring managers talk about, our experience, stems from, what the EVP is. It needs to be consistent. It needs to be deliberate. And people need to know how to articulate that. So in trying to establish the EVP, and this is how I kind of became, or my role became a little bit more involved, is that, we were trying to create EVP in-house. We're a nonprofit. We don't have a lot of resources. And I think that's something that any organization can really relate to right now with, a financial and economic headwinds. So, in order to be responsible stewards of our donor funds, we had a lot of data that was untapped. In a year of resources and financial responsibility, we wanted to be creative about how that happened. So I was leading a lot of internal workshops and different think tanks to understand, what is it? What is our experience, right? The bottom line. Mm-hmm. Because the messaging needs to reflect, because how do we hire someone, say something that we are, and then when they come in, it's totally different and being like, wait a minute, this is not what I signed up for. Yeah. So in order for us to not have this like used car sales experience, I wanted to really understand and sit down with our employees to understand what it's like. And in doing so, I really realized that wait a minute, our experience probably isn't optimal, right? And that's, typical. And not everyone gets to have this amazing top of the line experience all the time. And before we say something that is, I think it's really worth investing in the experience of okay, maybe we invested a little bit more. Can we make this the X percent better? And then do we have a more compelling message than to go to market with our candidates on? So I think when I realized that there was a huge opportunity and delta and a gap between, what the experience is right now and how much it can be better, that's when I really shifted into looking and quarterbacking the end-to-end talent, brand, and experience, because we have to make work not suck, right? And to improve the day-to-day experience of employees so they can do their best work, so then we can actually articulate that to our candidates to attract the best.
I love the tagline, work shouldn't suck. I think about that a lot. What can we do to make it suck less? I think it's so commendable, because I think there's probably a lot of people, and maybe some folks will listen to this and be like, look, I've been on the bench, I've wanted to create an EVP, but I don't have 100K, 150, 250K to do this. And you've done it both ways. I've done it both ways. My first EVP program was with one of the big five marketing agencies. I won't even tell you what we spent. I've built these from scratch. And honestly, the from scratch ones felt more heartfelt. They felt more on
always.
And I mean, not to mention the fact they perform better and they were basically free outside of my time. So I think if anybody takes anything away from this, I don't let good get in the way of this feeling that you need to invest six figures in order to tell nobody knows your organization's story better than you do.
Oh, yeah. And how many times, you throw money at agencies, they're like, oh, we'll take care of it. And that's an easy way to do things, right? It's so much harder when you have to get in a weeds and do things. But ultimately, you working in an organization can understand the little nuances that an agency will never be able to understand. It's just a feeling that you have. It's the culture. It's what people are feeling. It's not what we just say. And even, during surveys and things, if you don't know how to probe for the right questions, follow-up questions, questions and be like, okay, why do you feel that way? The context in which they feel that way. I think, you know, agencies, again, they try their best. And I think there are some really incredible agencies that really, really do incredibly hard work. But I think, you know, ultimately, it is your organization. You should own that messaging and like what we want to say. It's just not the same.
Yeah. I agree 100%. And it's not my intent to bag on agencies at all, but not everybody's got the budget. I mean, scrappy. And as time goes on, I feel like at least what I'm seeing in the industry, this is a year of scrappy. I don't see anybody getting 50% budget increases or anything. I think really the scrappier we can get, the better off we can be as practitioners. And if that means bringing some of that work that we used to farm out in-house, I think that's a very positive thing.
This episode of How We Interview is brought to you by Riembi. You understand the importance of maximizing your team's efficiency. Instead of having your recruiters or coordinators spend time with expense reports to reimburse candidates for interview expenses, automate the process with Riembi. Riembi streamlines the reimbursement process, ensuring your candidates receive their reimbursement quickly and accurately. Your team can focus on other essential aspects of the hiring process by eliminating reimbursement tasks from their workload. Automating reimbursements is a significant improvement to the candidate experience. No more dealing with spreadsheets, attaching receipts to emails, or waiting weeks to receive the payout. With Riembi, the reimbursement payout to your candidates is sent the same day expenses are approved. To learn more about how Riembi can help your team, visit Riembi.com. That's Riembi, R-E-I-M-B-I.com.
As you get into the employee experience work, I'd love to hear your thoughts on like the intersection between employer brand and employer experience. And then what happens, like you alluded to it, like those aren't aligned. Like, what do you do when you figure that out?
Yeah. And I have such a incredible opportunity where I can just go like wide and deep into both of those sectors, because, you know, I think about experience being like the day-to-day, the work environment, so people can do their best work, right? And the staff perception of what it means to work at the IRC is the employer brand, right? But that perception is formed via everyday interactions, like that every moment that you spend here, what employee sees, hears, learns, does during their organizational tenure. And I think EX or employer experience needs to really match that organizational value and employer brand. And when they're separated and where there is not a connection, you know, I think that is the gap and almost like a detriment. Like employer brand tries so hard to make this perfect campaign and image. And let's say the recruiting team that they're connected to, you know, their recruiters do a really, really good job of messaging that and living those, whatever. But then there is that inherent shock and almost like a jolt of like, wait a minute, like when the realities are so different. And I think it really needs to be really coupled. And we have to be able to look across the employee lifecycle, not just in the recruitment process, but onboarding, you know, like during the promotional process, the tenure with us, how leaders experience that and to live those values and advocate for that consistency.
Yeah, it's for years, recruitment was always like, you stop at onboarding, right? Like as long as they show up to work, our job is done.
And flip it over to Fence HR.
Right, like knock yourself out. But the problem with that is if we don't care for them post-hire, we just have to go back and fill that role again. And as my career in talent acquisition has gone on, I've found myself closer and closer to the front line of recruiting. Like I feel that, and that sucks. Like, didn't we just fill this role 90 days ago? What's going on? What happened? Well, onboarding was terrible, or they were traveling too much, or their hardware. It can be the silliest thing that is enough to say somebody like, this is not the place for me. Like my EX is not, to your point, I felt bait and switched. It's not what I thought it was going to be. What do you do when you run into a situation on the EX side where you're like, it's something that may be out of your purview, but is definitely negatively impacting the EX, which also negatively impacts the employer brand?
See, this is like where it gets real tricky, because I'm the quarterback. I'm the orchestrator of those things because employer brand informs and gives data, right? And also employee experience gives data. And so for me, like I see myself as like a almost like a thermometer temperature gauge of like, okay, this is what the outside temperature is. This is where the inside temperature is. Okay, we need to like level set and make sure that these temperatures are reading the same. And here's data on like how we can do that. And for me, it's a lot about indirect influencing, because while I oversee the experience and the brand, I'm not the one that actually executes, right? There's so many different organizations and departments that has to work together as a unit to make that whole holistic experience work. So, Aaron, I don't know if I have a good answer for you. It is all about, it starts from diagnosing, right? If we don't have the holistic diagnosis, I'm not able to really consult and articulate where all these little pieces that need to lay, because it's 5% here, it's a 5% here, 5% per. It's not just one department, you fix this and everything is going to be peachy and rainbows and unicorns. It is really those little tiny little improvements across. And that's what makes it so great, is because it's not just one big thing. It's like little baby steps, and it gradually gets better. So my hope is to be that person who they can go to for data, that they can go to for counsel, to ensure that we are contributing to this holistic experience that is employer brand and employee experience.
And that's incredibly well said. Not what happens, but because you're quarterbacking, like you're orchestrating all these different things, you're going to run into people in your organization, not just your organization, my organization, people that will do what we do, will run into situations where they've got somebody who's like, look, these are the four walls of my job. I'm not concerned about retention, or I'm not concerned about our EX. Like, look, man, if people don't get paid on time, if our benefits aren't up to par, like we're going to have issues that are going to impact the profitability of the organization, our ability to do the good work we're doing, especially in the humanitarian space. How do you kind of massage those situations, so while you're quarterbacking, to use your analogy, you keep moving the team down the field?
Yeah, and actually, I'm going to expand on that analogy. I'm a football freak, so I apologize in advance for anyone who doesn't understand football talk, but hopefully I can make it very digestible. So in football, you have different positions. You have your defense protecting you. You have your wide receivers, tight ends, running backs. They're all going the routes. They're running in places so that you can throw the ball and their ability to catch. But like, if your offensive line sucks, you're getting smashed. Like, doesn't matter how good the wide receivers are, people running down to get the touchdowns. You know, if your protection is great, but the people aren't going and catching those balls and fumbling the balls, you're still not going to score and move the chain forward. So I think about, you know, it is a team effort, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everything has to work in unison and together for you to go and win championships, to win Super Bowls. And that, to me, could be having the most impact, to be able to ability to play for the playoffs. So, you know, being having the chance and opportunity to make the biggest impact, to get more funding or clients or, you know, resourcing or budget, more profitability. It needs to work together. So the better that your team is, the more you can move and advance forward. And again, you can't just have a star player, an MVP, just doing its thing and worried about their individual cause. Like, you're always going to be unsuccessful, even if you're the team player, because the team itself is not winning, right?
Yeah.
I think hopefully that made it a little bit less football, but still.
No, it's good. But at the end of the day, you need to have a Masa who's got an eye on the larger picture.
Yes. Right? Yes. You need someone who like can orchestrate and kind of like figure out like holistically, not see just the individual trees, because ultimately these departments and these functions are going to see the trees. They are focused on a tree, and someone needs to see the forest and be like, hey guys, like, there might be a wildfire happening in this area. Like, we might want to like shift this way. And that is the function. Like, the goal is for them to be focused and to hit the goals of the departmental objectives and things. But also, like, my job is to inform that and to remind people, hey, this is how it's connected. So there are, I think, responsibilities in multiple layers that are important and crucial to making an organization work.
100%. Shifting gears a little bit.
Yes.
And our time always goes so fast, but shifting gears really quick. I would imagine if this assumption is wrong, please correct me. But given the work that you all do and given how like cause-driven Gen Z is, I'm
Yes.
guessing you get more than your fair share of Gen Z candidates. How do you, from an EX standpoint, actually an EB standpoint as well, like how do you alter your approach to make sure you're caring for what's important to that generation?
Oh gosh, this is such a hot topic, especially in this political and, financial climate. I have so much to say around this, so hopefully I can cover different topics here. So, Gen Zs, they really do care about mission, which is good for us. Like, we are a very mission-driven organization. But I think one of the things that I want to not fix, but address is that, like, a lot of our nonprofit work or nonprofit industry seems to really over-index on care and providing the resourcing for our clients, which is what we should focus on. But it shouldn't be at the expense of our employee experience, right? So I think I want to bring a little bit more oomph and balance. And this is me having to, be this leader who always speaks to the CFO, CEO in a way that makes the most business sense to them. Like, what do they care about ultimately? It's about money. It's about maximizing output. And that's when EV analytics becomes so critical and like partnering, with those, data foundational, companies and partners to ensure that like it is compelling to in language that they care about. So I went two different directions, but I'll bring it back. So yeah, Gen Z, they care about the mission, but they also really, really, really care about the experience. Like they want to be able to feel something. They want people to care. So I think being able to not only be mission driven, but and it's not or, it's and being having that experience, I think is really critical. The second thing I want to address is that, it would be remiss for me to not address some of the concerns around DEI. I feel like that word is like taboo nowadays to say in employer brand and recruiting and whatnot, but DEI is still very important in my eyes. People cannot call it that, but you can't avoid the fact that Gen Z and the subsequent generations are predominantly non-white, right? We are more diverse, more global than ever, especially our economy. Like, we can deny working with global partners, but there is also a reliance on that. And as our product gets more used by many, many different parts of the world, and I think it's unavoidable for us to not have a focus on that. And so I think about, employer brand and employee experience, having double emphasis on inclusivity, having and thriving in a way that works for them. And thinking about those nuances, I think, is so critical. So again, experience is the center of everything. I'm also bringing in another topic, which we might want to talk about later, but AI, right? Like, as we're evolving, as AI gets more mainstream and embedded in everything we do, it becomes less about efficiency and like AI is going to take care of that. But like, how can we retain that humanness of the experience, right? Like, as machines and robots and, algorithms and LLMs, like, they'll take care of like how the organization runs mechanically and just output wise, but there still needs to be that human element. And I think more than ever, employer brand employee experience needs to really center on the humanness of that experience.
I agree. 1,000%. Everything you said.
That
I always agree with what you
was a
say. You got that out. I know I saw you like, oh, there's so much. And you could not have said it any better. And I agree. This world will never be less global than it is today. It's only going to become more so. I think the quicker people pick up on that, the better off we'll all be. And building programs like foundationally that supports that going forward. I think it's huge. Masa, I feel like we've just scratched the surface. I want people to be able to, because you have such amazing energy and such amazing ideas. What's the best way for folks to reach you if they're like, I love what you're selling, like, how can I learn more about the work you're doing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can always find me on LinkedIn. I'm very active there. I may not be able to answer every single message, but I will do my best. If you're a practitioner and if you want to just talk shop and jam, I mean, that's how Aaron and I got connected. So I love talking about ideas and different perspectives. So send me a DM and hopefully we can chat. And I also have my consulting business still. I do it very lightly on the side, but if there are organizations and individuals who's just looking to, you know, ideate and to, you know, have help with their brand and talent strategy. I do have the option available as well. So yeah, I
think that's awesome. That is awesome. Thank you so much for joining, my friend. Like we talked about in our pre-call, we will absolutely do this again. Maybe we'll get Mr. Herr on the phone to join us as well. And we can absolutely. We'll shout out to Alex. I'll tag him in this when I post this. But thank you so much for joining. I always appreciate your perspective.
Thank you so much, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the How We Interview podcast brought to you by Riembi. Head to our website at howweinterview.com to find the show notes and links mentioned in this episode. While you're there, subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Leaving us a rating and review also helps us reach more listeners interested in learning from other talent acquisition professionals.